Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Oh, this is going to be bad.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Dawson's Creek. Today's episode is Season 2, Episode 16, Be Careful What You Wish For. And now, speaking of that, are your hosts,
Tara Aranio and Sarah D. Bunting.
Sarah.
Rude. Hello.
Hello, listener. We want to tell you before we get into this episode that we are wrapping up our month of spooky bonus episodes with Again With This episode 213 dropping October 25th. Let's watch Scream 2. This is, of course, the last movie so far of the Scream franchise that Kevin Williamson wrote himself. It also features more than one Starverse star, including Madame Tori Spelling, her own self. So It definitely falls under our rubric for multiple reasons. And that is what we're going to be watching this week. So if you want to check it out, the link is in the show notes to watch it on Max. And if you're not in the club yet, get in the club. Go to againwiththispodcast.com/club. You can find out all of the perks and information there. Shall we get into this podcast, Sarah D. Bunting?
Oh, yes. Let's.
Just the one plot line again this week. Dawson's turning 16, so absolutely everyone has to pay attention to him. Pacey comes over to Dawson's, having apparently been summoned because Dawson is freaking out. It's almost midnight. Pacey exposits that, yes, in a couple of minutes, Dawson's going to be 16, and it's a big turning point, and Dawson says, clip two. Yeah,
and I am eternally lost as a species on this planet.
I realize you think you're very important. You are not, however, individually a species on this planet. I don't even know what that is supposed to mean.
Well, I mean, technically, the sea anemone that has attached itself to the top of his head makes him a hybrid species that is unique. It's very bad. This is not a good time for leery hair.
It's true. And especially, well, we're about to see. He's definitely going to get shown up in the hair department very shortly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For now, Dawson babbles that he's the same big talking, little doing loser he was a year ago. And as he gesticulates with a disembodied arm prop, which is a little bit funny, unfortunately, there's a gif in the visual aids. He yelps that everyone he knows is moving forward in some way, and he's not. Pacey repeats that it's a good thing to get older, but Dawson bitches that there isn't anything new for him to look forward to. And the only thing he accomplished this year was realizing his feelings for Joey, but he's so stagnant that she dumped him for a gay guy, which, P.S., clip three.
Can we please talk about this whole gay man, straight woman thing? There's got to be something going on there that we're not seeing.
I mean, there is, but not what you think.
Yeah. Also, can't you just concentrate on taking your driver's license test like every other normal teenager instead of having a 16th life crisis?
Yeah. Furthermore, like, we keep having to be subjected to material about his movie, which, like, I agree he shouldn't have done it. But he did do it. He made a movie. That's more than I had done by the time I was 16.
God, me too.
Anyway, Pacey pretends to agree that there is a gay conspiracy to keep humanity from reproducing, then tells Dawson to stop trying to find answers to his problems in the movies, and instead to figure out what he wants and make it happen. And holding the good old rubber model head from his first movie, Dawson agrees that Joey is the answer and he needs to get her back, and his poor head gets tossed back and forth as we go into the credits. And the next morning, Gail finds Mitch in the kitchen making Dawson's customary birthday breakfast, which seems to be completely generic, by the way. Like, we don't even see what makes this special.
Yeah.
That was annoyed as a breakfast fan.
Mm.
she hasn't been able to say a whole sentence about him being there before Dawson comes down, happy that Mitch is keeping up one of their traditions. And his parents then leave the birthday boy alone to go to the porch and discuss his present, apparently for the very first time. Gail testily says she's giving Dawson an Explorer, as in a Ford Explorer, as if we didn't already have enough reasons to fucking hate him, which we did. Mitch says that's a big decision that they should have made together. He is right, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It affects the community, not just their kid, to give him a car.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the house, Dawson is eating alone, but the front door is slightly ajar, so he can still hear them quietly sniping at each other. Mitch knows he should contribute more financially and has looked into becoming a sub at the high school. Has Mitch had any job ever? Never mind teaching. He can't just decide to teach in a public school. It's not a private school where anything goes.
Yeah.
There's a union. But anyway, as we cut back to Dawson, it is confirmed he can hear Mitch whining that a new car is an extravagant gift and makes you think that when, spoiler, he doesn't get it later, he's going to bitch about it. But he doesn't. It never comes up. So I don't know why we had to see him knowing that it was on the docket. At the Ice House, Pacey and Joey go over plans to get Dawson to his surprise birthday party. Joey is pleasantly chatting about how nervous she is about organizing her first party when Jack enters, and there is an extremely awkward moment of silence between them before Jack slips out again. Pacey asks how Joey's doing. She cheerfully says everyone keeps asking her that in solemn tones, but that Jack is the one who is going through something. She was shocked at first, but now she's fine. Don't buy it, but that's a nice thing to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Classy.
Outside, Abby and a couple of minions that we haven't seen before roll up for lunch. Tracy is played by Joanna Friggin' Garcia, now Joanna Garcia Swisher.
Mm-hmm.
She recognizes Jack as the first guy ever to come out at Capeside, and Kelly chimes in, clip 4.
Oh my God, you're the gay guy.
Yes, that's how they prefer to be addressed. Good job. Yeah,
especially an hour from Provincetown. Not dropping that.
Nope. Abby proudly introduces them, clearly trying to mooch a little of Jack's local celebrity with their very tenuous connection. Tracy thinks it's so great that Jack came out at his young age, which we learned for the first time is 16. Tracy adds that she watched Ellen through that whole tumultuous year. The first one, not the one after she got outed as a terrible person. Jack tries to change the subject to their drink orders, but Kelly interrupts to say he is the first gay person she's ever met.
Provincetown, right there.
Abby says it's a waste since he's such a babe. Jack would take that as a compliment from anyone but Satan. Abby protests she's not even one of his helpers. She's changed. And by the way, please go to the visual aids to see her craziest ever hairdo. It is so springy.
It's so weird. It's like they didn't realize, and then once they started shooting, they just didn't stop.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't, yeah, the outfit is also a lot for day anywhere, even an hour from Provincetown, where she probably bought it.
Yes, so if Satan is not involved in Abby's life in some way, then she has a lot of explaining to do about her look.
Mm-hmm.
Over to Andy in therapy. Dr. Sumner says Andy's had a lot on her shoulders for a 16-year-old girl, so it's official. I guess she and Jack are twins now, suddenly. Great. Mm-hmm. After Tim's death and her mother's illness, Andy felt she had to be the glue that held the family together. Dr. Sumner isn't that surprised that Andy started to feel overwhelmed. Andy starts describing when and how she would have panic attacks, but Dr. Sumner stops her to ask what she wants for herself. Andy wishes she could get rid of all her worries and be like the people who sail through life doing what they want without caring what anyone else thinks, which, like, who are these people? I don't know any of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the therapist doesn't say that. She asks why Andy couldn't be like that. And Andy doesn't answer, so Dr. Sumner prescribes one night of imperfection, and Andy is shook. And then Bessie tells Joey she can leave the Ice House early for the party because she's sure that Joey wants to get dressed. But clip 5.
It's not like I have, you know, gussied up for anybody. Seems as though I've turned Jack off to women completely.
Joey, you know that's not true.
Yeah, I know. Not true. I mean, intellectually, I know that it has nothing to do with me. It's... Bessie. What am I supposed to do now?
You paint. You concentrate on your art and yourself. When you broke up with Dawson because you wanted to find yourself. Then you went straight into a relationship with Jack. Maybe it's a chance for you to do what you set out to do. I mean, look, any woman would be feeling the way you do right now under the circumstances. I think you're handling it with an amazing level of maturity.
Thanks. That's so nice.
I know.
She's right, by the way, Bessie. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she is.
She's making good points. And that was a nice 3 seconds between sisters that suddenly ends when Dawson shows up needing to talk to Joey. And then remember Ty, the homophobe that Jen tried to dump last week for being homophobic? Apparently she changed her mind because he's back in Graham's kitchen wrapping a gift. They flirt about him being able to feel Jen's eyes on him and whether she can feel his on her. And then we see them kiss for the first time. And it's awful because he's a bigot. But then he cuts them off on the grounds that Graham's might walk in. Outside somewhere else, Dawson and Joey talk about the weather and their tradition of making a wish on the first snowfall. They always came true, except the year that she greedily wished for a horse, $1 million, and a trampoline. I love that order, by the way.
Yeah.
They then get hot nuts, teehee, and she asks what he is hoping for, clip six.
I'm hoping that we can get back to the way we were.
Me too. And I've really been trying to get our friendship back on track.
I'm not talking about just a friendship, Joey. Look, I can't deny the truth, which is plainly and simply, I want more. I want you back.
Dawson.
Think about it. I was so confused last night, and then I finally realized that the only thing that makes sense to me is you. And I know that it's still there between us. I felt it during the whole Jack saga, and I feel it right now, and I know that you feel it too, because we're soulmates. Joey, you and I are meant to be. Period. The end. Cue happy ending music.
No. Look, Dawson, do you remember why we broke up in the first place? It wasn't about you at all, and it certainly wasn't about Jack. It was me. How I had things that I needed to figure out.
Things that you were willing to figure out with Jack, but not with me.
No, Dawson, we can't talk about this. You know why.
Joey, if you and I are not meant to be together, then I don't know anything. Wouldn't count on snow today.
Ew! Shut up, you freak.
I feel like, I mean, we must have heard it before, but this is the point where the soulmate talk really starts ramping up in earnest.
Yeah,
and
agreed.
I really hate it.
I also hate it. I mean, I'll give them this. If they're going for a very accurate vibe of an only child who's used to just like announcing shit and then being like, so give me what I want. Eh?
Yeah.
Great. And a question mark job.
That's an excellent point. I hadn't thought of that, but you're so right. After the commercial, Gail's setting up what kind of looks like a babyish birthday on the kitchen table. You can see the decorations and the visual aids.
I know. Will there also be a clown besides Dawson?
Ooh. Joey and Bessie are at the island decanting salsa, Joey in a black turtleneck, so she's really pulled out all the stops festivity-wise. Mm. She crabs to Bessie that she's throwing a party for someone who hates her. Bessie says everything will work out. Dawson will probably be in a great mood by the time he gets there. Smash cut to Dawson pouting in the cruiser next to Pacey while Andy gushes that she's always wanted to sit in the backseat of a cop car, which she currently is. She asks Pacey to turn on the sirens, and when he declines, she makes the noise herself. Everyone else is still being silent, so clip seven.
So this is what it's like when they cart you off to prison, huh?
Depends. More than one kind of prison.
Shut up! You know what, Morrissey? Go home. Go ruin your party and go lie upstairs by yourself. We all knew what he meant, but he goes on anyway. Clip eight.
And the state-regulated ones, and then there are ones that you're trapped in when your life is going nowhere and everyone else around you seems to be moving forward.
Took a happiness pill this morning, did we, Dawson?
No, just a strong dose of bleak reality. No offense, but if you notice that my only birthday plans are to play third wheel to my friend and his girlfriend.
Fifth wheel.
Okay, listen, buddy. On any other day of the year, I'd be more than happy to talk to you about this. But seeing as today is your birthday, why don't we try and concentrate on the positives, all right?
Hey, stop the car!
What? What did we hit?
Nothing. Just make a U-turn. I saw a really cool place back there.
Everyone in this car needs to calm way down.
They really do. Also, having lived in a small town, like, you're not surprised by a really cool place. Like, you know where everything is. That's the downside of living in a small town. Like, you don't have this experience. Sorry. Pacey looks annoyed. I, for one, am grateful Andy changed the subject from Dawson's boring pain. But Pacey, trying to stay calm, asks if Andy can be impulsive in a way that doesn't kill everyone in the car. She reminds him that she's on doctor's orders to cut loose tonight, and he backs off, then backs up to the really cool place. And we hear this. Clip 9.
She's a disaster. She holds me down, turns me down again.
I don't get it.
I don't either. Why did you call for this clip? Then we're at the house. Jack is, you know, he's gay now, so he's got to try something with his hair. He's gotten some gel. He's done a little sort of tin poof in the front, and I'd love to make fun of it, but it's such a big improvement.
It really is. Like, it shows his face more. I know that's a very, like, Graham Chase. It shows your ears more, and she's like, but I sincerely, like, it's so much better.
Yes, it is. Goodbye to the Lego hair. Sorry. To everyone who liked it. He lets himself in at the Leary house, and Abby, who got kicked out of this place the last time she was there, is improbably in attendance once again with Tracy and Kelly, and they all lose it over Jack's new look, transforming him from John Boy to John John. And while that does sound like the kind of tasteless thing Abby would typically say, I did look it up. JFK Jr. was still alive when this episode aired. His death was 4 months away. Abby gasps that when you get gay, you get style, and she wishes she had nabbed Jack one sexual preference ago, and he just gets away from her as fast as he can. Elsewhere in the house, Jen sets a large gift on the table and then stops when she feels Ty's gaze. They kiss, and he pulls away again, worried that she's going to make him go too far sex-wise, but talking about her being so sexy he can't control himself only makes her hornier. And now we have to go back to the fucking jazz club when Ty's not even there. Like, how expensive was this set that we have to go in every fucking episode? Enough!
God.
Anyway, a guy's on stage going off on a harmonica while Dawson watches from the front row with his arms crossed. Rude. Andy takes her jacket off, and Pacey is shocked to see her in a low-cut, strappy red dress, and they flirt about it, and when the camera gets closer, we see... It really is 1999 because she has so much glitter all over her décolleté.
Absolutely flea dipped in that glitter that was at the gap next to at the register next to. Remember the solid perfumes they had that were like grass,
yes,
sky. I had all of them and mixed and matched because I'm not better than anyone except Dawson.
Yep. Anyway, Eucalyptus.
Marley said I have to learn to let my id out to breathe some fresh air for an evening.
What exactly are you letting out for an evening?
It's what Freud calls your id. It's the part of you that holds your purest impulses and desires. And it doesn't judge or care what anyone thinks. It just wants what it wants.
Okay, I'm sorry. Mr. Vocabulary has never heard of the id. I don't buy it.
It could be because Meredith Monroe is pronouncing it the it, but I don't think that's what we're supposed to take from it.
I didn't catch that. That's funny. But they go on, clip 11.
And what do you think it wants?
Well, it's about letting go of all your preconceived notions of how you're supposed to talk or how you're supposed to behave and just letting loose for once.
I could certainly learn something about letting loose. I mean, look at me. I'm sitting in a bar. I'm drinking a straight Coke.
Well, we could do it together if you want. I mean, it might be good for both of us to get a little wild tonight.
Try not to get too wild while I'm away at the washroom, okay?
Can I get you guys anything else?
Yeah. I'll have another Coke. And could you tell the bartender to put a little more rum in it this time?
Yeah, me too. I can barely even taste the rum in mine.
Oh, sorry about that. I'll have him double up on the shots in the next round to make up for it.
Thank you.
Have you ever drank before?
Never.
Me neither.
we've seen him drink. Like, we haven't seen him get wrecked, but we've seen him drink, right?
I don't think so.
Like, he was at some Red Solo Cup function. Maybe he was pointedly drinking a Diet Coke, but I feel like we've seen him drink. Her, maybe not, but...
Well, when he went to the party with Jen as the anthropological experiment of, like, how teenagers really are, he definitely didn't drink at that one. And I don't know if he was at Pacey's peer party long enough to drink from a keg. I think that was undetermined.
I mean, he definitely seems like the pointedly sober, I need to keep my faculties sharp so I can collect information for my filmmaking guy.
For sure.
So,
yes,
it just seemed like at some point in the first season when they hadn't really established character lanes as well that we might have seen him casually have a beer or like at Chris's or something. I don't know. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah. You also can tell in these clips that James Vanderbeek had a cold this week and could not call out from work because he is real snotty, not in the usual way. Back to the party where Jack is hiding on the porch when Abby finds him and hits on him. He tells her he doesn't get what she's doing. He has been quite clear that he does not like her. And she shrugs that no one does. She's an outcast. And as he tries again to ditch her, she says, clip 12.
This whole thing is just so ridiculous. There's no such thing as gay anyway. This is weird label people came up with to persecute the normal inclination to go both ways.
What do you mean?
Well, we're all bisexual, don't you think? We're all just sexual animals under God. This puritanical society would make you think our natural impulses are something to be ashamed of, when it's really those kinds of attitudes that are the embarrassment, don't you think?
I think one of those don't you think should have been cut.
I think that too. She's at least on a trolling level ahead of her years because this is extremely first semester of college talk.
Yes.
Like, thinking you're the first person to have this idea.
We're all on the lesbian continuum. All right.
Oh, yeah.
See you there.
Back to the jazz club where we can tell before they say so. It's open mic night, clip 13.
Chicks, we're born to give you fever, be it Fahrenheit or centigrade. They give you fever when you kiss them.
God bless this featured extra because the lack of vanity and this terrible performance is really perfect. The waiter returns to get Dawson and Andy into the round as Pacey asks how many Cokes they plan to drink, and they make a secret tee-hee face at each other. The chanteuse finishes Fever, and the MC invites anyone else up to sing the blues. And Dawson and Andy, I guess, have had enough booze that they decide they know something about that and ignore Pacey's attempts to stop them. And we get this. Clip 14!
My name is Dawson Leary. I'm feeling kind of weary. Today is my birthday. Y'all look a little bleary. The girl that I care for left me and ran away, straight into the arms of a guy who turned out to be gay. I got the blues. Today I woke up, feel like I was born to lose. Yeah, I got the blues. Some days you were born to lose.
Thoughts?
Good rhyming, writer guy.
I mean... As improvisation goes, as we're supposed to obviously think this is, not bad, especially considering he's drunk for what we've been told is the first time.
It does occur to me that I think he was in this club with Ty and Jen.
He was.
But I don't think he got one of the usuals.
He didn't.
They joked about ordering it, but I think they didn't do it.
That's right.
Yeah, this is like typical of this show. Like, he's sort of relatably more likable in this humiliating moment, but then it goes on a little too long and he'll ruin it big time later. But that sort of, like, they should have montaged this better so that it was funnier and we felt for him more.
Yeah. I'll say he's performing a traditionally black art form and also taking up space that should be reserved for people who actually have problems. So I'm going to call this double appropriation.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yeah. You need to go to the visual aids to see how incredibly giant his pants are. Speaking of taking up space.
I was just going to say, like, he's literally taking up space.
Yes.
It belongs to several hundred other people.
Yes.
His pants are a sail.
Half the band is down on the floor because there wasn't room for them.
Mm-hmm.
Dawson then invites Andy to do a verse, and it's even worse. Clip 15.
Mm-hmm. My name is Andy. And my brother is the one who's gay.
Don't do an accent.
My other brother died. And my daddy went away. But I'm still Andy. And my boyfriend makes me Randy.
Nope.
His name is Pacey. And my mom's gone, go feeling crazy out of the blues.
Why are you singing, sister?
Yeah! Sometimes you swear you were born to lose.
Oh, we got the blues. Now it's time to put on my dancing shoes.
I mean, I give it to Meredith Monroe. That is absolute, like, drunk commitment.
Yes.
In the face of all available evidence that you should not do any of this.
No.
Including use your boyfriend's name since you're all underage and he would be known to everyone in the small town as the sheriff's child, but mm-hmm. Sure.
And what you can't see, dear listener, is there's air guitaring as well from Andy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can see it in the visual aids, but.
And like a ragdoll dance situation. It's a lot. And all of it is bad and very accurate to drink queen.
It's true. I hate it, but I love that they did it because it's mm-hmm. at least for the first maybe time in this whole series, like it's Dawson acting like a human being.
Yeah. And like a human teenager.
Exactly. Yes. So then Dawson does another verse, which reveals he knows about the party. And I truly wonder if Vanderbeek got a little drunk for real when he sings directly into a camera. But he and Andy wrap up as Pacey sits at the table seething and he has his arms crossed. But this time I'm fine with it. Unlike what Dawson was doing it for the guy with the harmonica.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.
So then when Dawson and Andy return to the table, Pacey already has her coat open, ready to go to the not that surprising surprise party. But Dawson says they're having such a great time, he doesn't want to leave. And when Pacey takes a gulp from one of their glasses, he figures out they've been drinking just as the server comes back. Clip 16.
Make this one a double this time with just a splash of Coke. Actually, you know what? A splash is too much. How about just a splah? No sh at all.
Shush.
Before I bring you anything else, the bartender asked me to check your IDs.
Oh, welcome back, bartender. Been in a coma the whole night?
For real. So Andy points out before we have to that this server should have done that 5 rounds ago because they're 16. And Pacey's like, oh, great. But silently. And Andy babbles about the legal ramifications of her carelessness as Pacey tells the server it's a joke and hustles Andy and Dawson out. And back of the house, seems like Gail feels Mitch's eyes on her just before he says he saw the Explorer in the garage. He always thought Dawson's first car would be some old jalopy, he says. Because he's on the wrong show 20 years early. Uh-huh. And they bicker about who's making what decisions why these days. And then we get to see the Explorer as well, and a Titanic reference as a hand presses against the fogged up window, because Jen and Ty are in it fooling around until, rule of threesfully, Ty breaks off the kissing yet again. Clip 17.
I can't do this. I'm sorry, Jen.
You should be.
Well, this is, it's not entirely my fault.
Oh, really, what role am I playing in your personal inner struggle?
You're tempting me.
That's a load of crap.
I'm sorry, Jen, but as attracted as I am to you, I don't believe in premarital sex. And no matter what you say or do is not going to convince me that it's right.
Who said anything about sex?
Jen, I just mean that it's perfectly clear that with your history, kissing isn't just kissing. It leads to other things.
My history?
Jen, we're types of people. And just as I'm likely to be found in church on Sunday...
I'm more of a Saturday night slut.
I didn't say that.
Then how come I have never felt more like one?
This guy is such a J.D. Vance freak. Like, punt. Punt! I don't know why he's still here.
I don't either.
Go.
Yeah. Ugh. Worst.
Also, you can't have the same hair as the guy that you're making out with. I feel like that's a good rule.
Inside, Jack is alone on the stairs doing a version of the JFK portrait pose. You can see in the visual aids because I did a side-by-side when Abby tries to make another overture and Jack asks if she really thinks it's true that everyone's kind of bisexual. She purrs that she does and then leads him into Dawson's room. Clip 18.
You know, the Joey and Dawsons of this world are pretty advanced for their age in other ways, but with all the time they spend contemplating their navels, you'd think they'd be a little more open to the possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, you're right. There's a whole world of possibilities in there.
In here, too.
Yeah, maybe not Satan after all. Of course, I don't think Satan has a belly button.
Well, us outcasts have to learn to stick together.
Do you?
Well, I can understand why she's saying that. I don't know why he's buying it, but...
Yeah.
Then we're downstairs as Dawson bursts in and yells, surprise, and no one's ready because Pacey couldn't text them because it's the past. And as Dawson and Andy head in, Joey mutters at Pacey that the party's a complete disaster. Something we've seen zero evidence of, by the way. It seems like it's fine, other than them being late. And Pacey mutters back at her not to get him started. Joey can tell that Dawson and Andy are wasted even before they jump up on a table and start doing the literal frug. Wish they could see that eye roll.
Yes. I mean, it really, this is where the ragdoll dance, like the fact that nobody figures out what's happening until later in the sequence is shocking.
Yeah.
To me. They both must reek as well.
Yes. Well, as soon as a parent gets close enough to Dawson, it is the jig, she is up, but we're not there yet. So then we get the first of several overhead, very showy overhead shots as Joey drags Dawson upstairs with a cup of coffee. We've discussed this many times. Not the move before Dawson's parents see him while Dawson loudly argues with Joey. And in the hall upstairs, he mumbles that he has the blues and asks if she knows anything about that. More than she cares to, she says. And things aren't going to get better once she opens Dawson's bedroom door and sees Jack in there making out with Abby. Clip 19.
The guy I was talking about, who said he was gay. Got a new hairdo and he decided to swing both ways.
I mean, that's not funny.
It's not,
exactly.
But it is.
But it is like Vanderbeek's decision to just commit no matter where this episode took his character, which, as we're about to hear, is not anywhere good. Mm-mm. I respect it, I gotta say.
Yep.
And he's clearly having a ball just being an open butthole instead of a passive aggressive one. So don't hate it. His look of glee is so funny. It's in the visual aids as well.
It is. So Joey says she can't handle this and leaves, Jack chasing after her, and then Abby comes down after him. Clip 20.
Not so gay anymore.
More gay than ever.
I mean, not really buying that, but okay. Good delivery.
See now, that's a perfect campaign slogan for Barney Franks, but alas, we miss him.
Yeah.
And then Gail's bringing out the birthday cake, decorated to look like a fucking film clapper, just as Dawson comes back down. And this is a long clip, but a lot goes on. Clip 21.
It's time to make a wish.
Dawson, honey, have you been drinking?
Time to make a wish. Okay. Let's make a wish. I wish. I wish that my mom never slept with a co-anchor. I wish that my father would stop talking about getting a job and actually go out and get one. And I wish that the two of you would stop your petty bickering and at least pretend to be the adults around here. I wish that my best friend Pacey would just end this transformation in a do-gooder, A student, and all-around sanctimonious teen angel and just go back to what he does best, which is make me feel good about my life because his is supposed to be worse. And there's Jen Lindley with her drunkenness and her revolving boyfriends and her wild, wicked ways. I want to party with you. Ah, and there's Jack McPhee. Jack McPhee, who likes guys but doesn't mind stealing my girlfriend. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, starring in his very own version of In-N-Out. He's in. He's out.
He's in.
He's out.
He's in.
He's out.
In.
Out.
Nice hair, by the way.
It is. I'm glad he appreciates it.
Take a note, please. Bring it to the hair trailer. Yes. Please. I was shocked that they actually let him be that consciously small. About being friends with Pacey so that he could feel superior.
Yep.
Shocked.
Mm-hmm.
Stunned and actually not that saddened. Like, way to put his ass hollery on blast.
Yeah. Okay. 100%. Only coming out when he's compromised, but still, at least they let that be canon, that it's secretly part of his calculus of their friendship.
Yeah.
I also didn't think he had this comic timing in him, but credit to Vanderbeek, because he really is doing some good work in this episode, making Dawson absolutely unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on, clip 22.
And then, of course, there's my Joey.
Fuck off!
Well, A, B, Joey, the time for you to leave this party, I don't care if you organized it, was after you walked in on Jack and Abby. Like, why are you still here?
Yeah.
Truly.
Why are you still there? And why has no one, like, his parents are on the premises.
Yes!
Why has someone not gotten an umbrella and physically hooked him?
Yes.
Out of the public area and into the bathroom he's about to desperately need.
Yes, they are just standing there watching this happen, and it's not over. Clip 23.
The only 16-year-old in the world who needed to find herself. You know what? That's okay. I accept that. You need to find yourself, and I accept it. All right? So, Joey? Joey? Where's my... Excuse me. Joey! Joey, excuse me, Mom. Joey, are you... Joey? There she is. There she is, it's my Joey. Joey.
Cut it out, Dawson.
That was... That... You hear at the end of that clip is Dawson face planting into his cake.
Oh my God.
One of the greatest moments of the early run of the show, I'm going to say.
Truly. I think I wrote a whole that moment about it for previously.tv.
I think that's right.
Just like a frame by frame, like him plummeting into the cake. So good.
Mm-hmm.
Why, though, would no one, if only to cut short their own agony, why wouldn't anyone have just like shoved him onto or off of the porch? Like, please.
Yes.
He's like, where's this whole like passive aggressive? Where's my Joey? Like, someone needs to have put a stop to that.
Yep.
No one likes him, I guess.
That's true.
Hard to believe.
Come straight out of the commercials into some graphic barfing by Dawson into the sink because the toilet's in use by Andy. Dawson even manages to be wordy, saying he's learned to be careful about what you eat before you get drunk because you're going to see it again. Andy, drenched in sweat, says she's never drinking again and is particularly mortified that Dawson's parents saw her like that, which, like, I don't think anyone saw you behind Dawson. You're fine. But they agree they'll never drink again, and then both lurch back to their plumbing fixtures in yet another showy overhead shot because someone really thought they were doing something with this episode. And the God angles. So then Gail finds Mitch on the porch asking if they completely screwed up Dawson's life. Gail, who caught the most strays from that speech, says Dawson is just being 16, which I agree. Gail will be taking the SUV back to the dealership, given how Dawson just proved he's not ready for the responsibility, although good luck getting your money back now that there's all that DNA in it.
Yeah.
Gail sheepishly admits buying it was not the best decision. He suggests they go in on an old car for Dawson together, which, like, he came home 19 sheets to the wind. They're still talking about getting him a car, used or nay. He has a job.
Yeah.
He can buy his own car.
Maybe if he's just being 16, then you need to start grounding him that way.
Yes. But Gail decides a good compromise is for them to do the down payment and then have him pay the monthly, which, like, okay, like, whatever. Again,
yeah,
I have to stop being bitter about people who had cars when they were teenagers just because I didn't. But I didn't, and I still am. Across the lawn, Jack trudges up to Joey, who says, it's bad enough that she threw the world's worst surprise party, but Abby? As Joey reminds him what Abby did to Jack's family, which, good point, again, why was Abby invited? Joey thought that if Jack were going to go straight again, it would be for someone like Cindy Crawford. And Jack says, another long clip, clip 24.
Everyone's been telling me how okay they are with me coming out. You. Pacey. That overzealous guidance counselor.
Sorry for being so accepting. I'd rather everyone just turn against you.
No, it's just that she was saying some things tonight that made me feel like I was just like everybody else. I guess I saw what I could have become, this whole thing. Somebody on the fringes like Abby.
So if we hadn't walked in,
I still would have stopped it. I realized from the minute that I started that I was... that I am gay.
You know, Jacket, I think everyone feels alone and wants to be normal, and I don't think anyone ever really does.
I don't want to be singled out. You know, like I have some scarlet G on my chest, you know, like I'm the Ellen of Capeside.
We're all going through the painful process of growing up. I mean, you just have this extra layer of difficulty, but you're incredibly lucky to have people who support you. Just don't lose sight of that.
You know what else you don't have to lose sight of? Is a map of the cape on which Provincetown is right there.
Who fucked in Provincetown? Could be you.
Yeah, it absolutely could be you. There actually is a bus system. You could be there in an hour.
Okay, well, that's
exhausting.
B is actually not everyone does support him. It's kind of a big plot point that he's got issues with his dad. So, you know, I also doubt anyone's bothered telling his mother. We have no reason to think she knows about any of this. Like, he really is kind of on his own.
Yeah. And once again, I got to ask, who is watching Mrs. McPhee? Since one of them is supposed to be doing it at various times. Mm-hmm. Maybe Mr. McPhee, maybe Angry really did arrange for a visiting nurse service.
Yeah, we don't
know. I
think
they just don't want us to remember that. But anyway.
Jack's bottom line is he just doesn't want to end up alone. And Joey has nothing to say to that because that's probably one of her big fears as well. Jen gets home and finds Ty waiting on the porch to announce he doesn't think they should see each other anymore. Duh. Which is more or less what she says. Clip 25.
So you waited on a freezing cold porch to tell me what was perfectly clear 2 hours ago?
I just need to explain myself.
You know what? You don't. It's simple. You have natural, God-given impulses that everybody in your life has told you are wrong to follow. And so instead of growing your own conscience, you prefer to drag me through your grief, and I'm not going to stand for it.
Jen, you need to understand that all my life has been about the church. The teachings, the beliefs, they're all I know.
Okay, so let me see if I have this straight. You're a Christian, but you like to booze it up. And you like to party, right? And you judge people for being gay. You go around acting like heterosexual sex is the way of the Lord, but you won't actually have heterosexual sex.
Oh, wait, this is the hill you're going to die on? That this fucking bigot won't fuck you? This is the problem that's breaking you up? What? What now?
Yeah, no. Like, I mean, I understand that what they're blundering towards is like, he's a big hypocrite, but like, we get it. He sucks.
Yes.
Why is he still here in this episode? Punt, please.
Well, it's about to end forever. Clip 26.
Mm-hmm.
I am struggling with the fact that I am a teenage guy with all the desires that go along with that. Desires that are in direct opposition of everything that I've ever been taught to believe. And when I'm with you, all sense of reason just flies out of my head because you're so beautiful and sexy, and I want you so badly. I am so sorry that I hurt your feelings tonight. Please understand that this is about me and it has nothing to do with you.
Ty, this has everything to do with me. I liked you.
I know.
No, you don't. No, I mean, I really liked you, and despite what you may think about my past experience, when I kissed you tonight, that wasn't my desire for something more. It was for something pure, something that I haven't felt in a long time, but you ruined that.
Maybe someday when I deal with my baggage, then maybe this could work
anybody
out.
Anybody who can make me feel like this doesn't deserve a maybe.
Bye, bitch.
Yeah.
Goodbye. Mm-hmm. I wish there had been a bye bitch for this scene, but unfortunately, Joey, the world's saddest doormat, goes back inside Dawson's house to check on him as he lies in bed feeling the room spinning. And do we see this from an overhead shot? Yes, we do.
Yeah, of course.
She interrupts his apology to forgive him, saying even he is allowed to make a few mistakes. Lady, he makes mistakes all the time. Mm-hmm. But Dawson mumbles that he got drunk because he's hopelessly lonely. He asks why she dumped him and ran straight to Jack, because Jack wasn't Dawson, she says. That seems clear enough, but I guess they had a word count to hit. So, clip 27.
It was never about looking for something better, Dawson. It was about looking for someone who wasn't so close to me. So I could tell where I ended and he began. I mean, our lives have always been so intertwined that in many ways I feel like you partially invented me, Dawson. And that scares me so much. I need to find out if I'm capable of being a whole person without you. I need to find out if I can be a whole person.
Doing quickly. Okay. Because
So you didn't hear anything she just said? Like, you're just like waiting it out until she decides you're the thing that she needs after all? Shut up. Please shut up.
Yeah. Not how any teenager has ever thought about their crush and loved ones. Sorry.
On her side, 100%. We can't keep saying this. Like, they're just the way they write this, like, these are therapized 33-year-olds. Like, it's just exhausting.
Yeah. It really is.
Then Dawson passes out and has no reaction when Joey says she loves him too. And when she looks out the window, it's snowing. Did she make a wish? We don't know, because that's the end of the episode. Let's close it up by naming our episode MVP.
Jen.
Yeah.
I mean, she shouldn't have taken him back in the first place, but at least she drop kicked him and that's done with.
Yeah, I'm going to say Bessie largely for that speech that we listened to where she told Joey, you're doing a good job. This is hard.
Good choice.
Think about you. And because she was right. Mm. Joey didn't hear it, but Bessie was right.
Yep.
Least valuable player. I mean, there's a lot of choices.
Oh, so many. I'm going to say Gale. Don't make that kind of big decision about the car. Don't come down on that side of it at all, but definitely don't do it without checking with your estranged husband. And once your child comes home, rip shit. Like, find a trap door, open it, and push him down there. It, like, why was this not stopped? So, I mean, not that Mitch isn't also responsible for his crappy son, but...
Right.
Also the bartender. I don't know.
But she was my
Gale.
Backup.
I'm sticking on Gale.
Yeah, the server for sure. You have had training for this. Like, you need to pay attention. Even though this place has already been established as it serves underage drinkers, her. But since you already named Gale and her, I'm going to say Ty. Figure your shit out or don't. Don't care. Goodbye forever.
Yeah. Next time on Again With This, the Capeside Craft Fair brings romance for Grams, an unwanted take on the future for Andy, a dress-up montage for Joey, and a beautiful gift for the audience, in the form of Miss Kennedy drop-kicking Dawson's auteur dreams for the extra point. Give yourself the decidedly less beautiful but still well-meaning gift of our visual aids. That's important screenshots and gifts from this and every other episode of the podcast. You'll find them at againwiththispodcast.com. And the entire archive of episodes of Again With This for 90210 and Melrose Place, as well as Dawson's, is at againwiththispodcast.com/subscribe. I'm slightly used Ford Explorer, Sarah D. Bunting, and I'm on Blue Sky at Sarah D. Bunting. My co-host is Dancing Shoe Tara Ariano, and she's on Blue Sky at Tara Ariano. And our producer, David T. Cole, wouldn't count on snow today. Talk to you next time.
And then, of course, there's my Joey.
The world is full of happiness that I have never known.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.